on the information use map. I'll be presenting. My name is Eric Gears. I'm a data demand and use specialist with Measure Evaluation. And I will be co-presenting with my colleague, Tara Nutley, the senior data demand and use specialist. Just want to let you know that a few technical troubleshooting areas. If you lose connectivity at any time, you can try to re-enter the meeting by clicking on the webinar link that was emailed out. You can also check the audio on your computer and your microphone. If you are unable to connect or resolve your problems, please refer to the call instructions window. There's a number there to call, and we have a conference call open. If you do opt for that, please mute your telephone so we don't have too much of a feedback sound problem. And if none of those work, please send an email to leah.gordon@unc.edu. And we really welcome everybody. There's a great number of participants today. So let's get into it. Just a few more things. If you want to make a comment during the presentation, there's an icon with a person raising his hand, and you can indicate an emoticon, whether you want us to speed up or slow down. We will provide, if you'd like to ask questions, jot them down. We're going to give you a Q&A opportunity. And after the presentation, a window will pop up in front of you where you can either type it in or raise your hand and speak your question. We also have a recording of this webinar that will be made available at the Measure website, www.measureevaluation.org/edu. And so we're going to begin now. I don't see any issues for this moment, so we'll go ahead. This agenda today, we're going to give you a brief overview of what is data demand and use. Then Tara is going to give that presentation, and then I will discuss what is the information use map. I'll briefly discuss some field applications. We'll give you times for question and answers. And then we have a few wrap-up issues to discuss with you. And that's it today. It should take about 45 minutes with 15 minutes for questions. Okay, so I'm going to turn the presentation over to my colleague, Tara Nutley, and she's going to talk about what is data demand and use.
Hi, everybody. It's great to be here today, and it's really exciting to see so many people participating from so many different disciplines around the world. So thanks for taking the time out of your day. I'd like to start just with a quick discussion about why we are talking about data demand and use, and why it's important to specifically focus on this element of monitoring and evaluation, and how it crosses into program improvement. We're all acutely aware of today's global health context. We have the burden of the HIV epidemic, also coupled with issues of tuberculosis, malaria, population growth, et cetera. And all of this is happening in a context where we have very large cohorts of young people that are aging and moving into needing additional health services as this cohort ages. And all of this is happening at a time in many countries where there are shortages of staffed, shortages of skilled nurses, doctors, et cetera, to provide the services required by these growing cohorts of young people. So it's at a time like this where we have a great need and limited resources where we really need to ensure that our policies, strategies, and interventions that we implement are targeted and focused and as efficient as possible. And the way we do that, of course, is by using data in the decision-making process. I like to just quickly show this quote. This is from a policymaker that we worked with on Measure Evaluation in Nigeria, and he summed it up very nicely when he said, "Without information, things are done arbitrarily, and one becomes unsure of whether a policy or program will fail or succeed. If we allow our policies to be guided by empirical facts and data, there will be a noticeable change in the impact of what we do." I also find it helpful to quickly talk about how we define on measure evaluation data demand and use. We find frequently that data use is equated with collecting the data, making sure it's of good quality, and populating a report to a donor, to the government, etc. But reporting, while critical in the data use process, is not use. Another issue where there sometimes is a limited definition is with dissemination. If we then take that report and we disseminate it to the right people and we show some graphs, that is use. In our definition is more comprehensive. We talk about use being linked to a specific decision-making process or a program review process. So we talk about using data to create or revise a program or strategic plan, develop or revise a policy, advocate for a policy or program, allocate resources, monitor a program, and then, as I mentioned, that review must be linked to a decision-making process. So even when you're monitoring a program and you're reviewing your data quarterly, you are still, that is still considered part of the continuum of the decision-making process, and data is critical there as much as it is when you're developing a policy. In terms of data demand, when we talk about data demand, we are talking about decision makers specifying what kind of information they want and need to inform their decision maker decisions, and then actively seeking that information out. So the thinking here is that if data is used and the benefits of data in decision making are seen, then you will continue the cycle to that will lead to additional demand for data. So that is how we think about data demand and use on measure evaluation. And here is a great way to look at this kind of graphically, this cycle of decision making that I was talking about, and that decision making is not a specific one-time event. The idea of the cycle is that it starts with the basic M&E systems with data collection in the blue box on the left. And that includes ensuring that the information is available and in a format that is easily understood by the relevant stakeholders, as you see in the blue box at the top of the circle, so that this information, the data, can be easily interpreted and used to improve programs, policies, and ultimately health systems. And the cycle supports the assumption that the more positive experiences a decision maker has in using information to support a decision, the stronger their commitment will be to improving data collection systems and continuing to use the data they generate. So you see this leads to a repeated cycle. You'll also note the orange circle on the exterior here, and you see that this entire cycle is supported by coordination, collaboration, and capacity building. Coordination among those that produce the data and those that use the data, as well as between management systems and other organizational supports, is important to facilitate data in decision making. And lastly, the cycle is supported by an eye toward improving capacity, individual capacity, to ensure that people are equipped with the skills they need to support the cycle. So all of these elements are really critical to ensure that this data-informed decision-making cycle continues. Now, we all know that cycles and systems that are complex with multiple elements that feed into it don't always work as well as they should. So that is why we're here today, to talk about that when the cycle breaks down, what can we do to improve it? And so on this slide, this is a way we look at kind of a comprehensive approach to improving data-informed decision-making. As you can see in the bottom, monitoring and evaluation systems is listed there. And everything we do is built on this foundation, a commitment to improving monitoring and evaluation systems. Data use is part of M&E. And all of this then is supported by the overarching top part of the diagram by data users and data producers, and the interaction of these two groups of people. This is frequently where things break down. These are different disciplines. Data producers are the M&E research types of professionals. Data users are more the program managers. So this this support, this umbrella of the coordination and collaboration between these two types of professionals. And then we'll see that we talk about three general types of interventions: tool application in that kind of pink box, capacity building in the blue box, and organizational support in that green box. And it's the implementation of these three types of interventions together that will facilitate the use of data in decision making. And in this webinar series, we're going to be focusing mostly on tool application and reviewing what tools we have available. And lastly, we'll be talking about capacity building in our last part of the webinar series. And we will address organizational support as well in a different webinar series. So now we're going to move into Eric's discussion of the information use map. And I would also like to draw your attention to the other resources that Measure Evaluation has available on our website. We'll provide that link at the end. Just a reference for you for what we have in terms of tools, training materials, and other guidance documents and publications. Our website is a rich source of information. So now let's move on to Eric's introduction of the information use map.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Tara, for that. And I just want to remind people that during the presentation, if you want to express yourself, go to the icon of the man raising his hand and indicate an emoticon. Tara will be monitoring that and tell me to speed up or slow down if needed. So I'm here to talk to you about the tool information use mapping. And let's get into it. Okay, so the information use mapping tool was primarily created in response to a problem commonly encountered in health services. Data is often collected and reported, but it never seems to be used, especially at the local level where services are delivered. So the idea behind the tool was to help those at the service delivery level who may collect and report data to visually see how this data can be translated into information that can be used to improve their operations. So it helps all stakeholder groups that collect data on health service delivery understand how that data is eventually interpreted and used to make changes to the healthcare system. Health facilities that collect data can then identify ways they can use the information to improve their service delivery efforts and highlight missed opportunities for feedback from other stakeholders who conduct data analysis and interpretation. So the information use map documents the processes of when data is collected to when it's reported and used. The goal of this exercise is to find opportunities to increase the number of stakeholder groups who translate data into useful information. And then we bring in those with the experience delivering health services, use their insight to interpret data, and increase their use of this interpretation to make decisions about their health programs. And thirdly, identify ways that different actors can use information to provide constructive feedback to others in the health system. The achievement of these three goals will contribute greatly to improving the quality and production of data throughout the healthcare system. So there are a variety of tools developed by Measure Evaluation used to improve the demand for and use of information in health decision making. There are templates and explanations of each tool at the Measure Evaluation website. The information use mapping tool can be used separately or with the other tools depending on your needs. If you want to use the information mapping tool along with the other data demand and use tools, our previous experiences have shown that it works best after stakeholders and their roles in a data demand and use intervention have been identified. Then the information use mapping tool can identify new opportunities for data use within the existing data reporting channels. Once an opportunity for data use has been identified for a stakeholder group, like a local health facility, you can employ the assessment to data use constraints to address specific individual, technical, and organizational barriers to use data that for that specific health facility. And then you apply the framework for linking data with action to explore how data can be used to answer a specific programmatic question or inform a decision. And lastly, if you need a more thorough performance assessment of routine information systems, then you can use the more involved PRISM tool. So that's just putting the information use mapping tool in the context of other tools available. But how do we do this? The main steps to implementing an information use mapping assessment are: you need to decide the scope of your assessment. For example, do you want to assess data flow throughout a national health service system, or do you want to look at just one health facility? Should the assessment include community-based data, specific surveys, or just routine data? Second, you identify a core group of data users and producers who are able to describe how data is created and used in the existing health service system. A data user, as Tara has mentioned earlier, can be a health professional, policymaker, or other key decision maker who uses data to inform the design, implementation, monitoring, or improvement of health programs. Data producers are professionals who acquire and analyze health data and prepare them for distribution to an audience of users. These include monitoring and evaluation specialists, data clerks, or researchers. And thirdly, this core group of data users and producers will then find out how information is collected, analyzed, and reported. This is done through a desk review of official procedures for data collection and reporting, looking at plans, national policies, guidelines, M&E frameworks, or implementation plans. An additional option is to interview about 10 to 12 key informants who represent a few typical health facilities for each stakeholder group involved in data collection and dissemination. If you access the information use mapping tool on the Measure Evaluation website, you'll find a series of questions to help guide the development of key informant questionnaires. These questionnaires are useful for the core group as well if you don't have time to do key informant interviews. And finally, the last step is a validation workshop, where the key stakeholders who have a vested interest in how information is used and can monitor any proposed changes to information flow can provide their input. They review the findings from the core group, map out how they expect information to be used in the future, and prioritize activities or inventions to improve data use and feedback mechanisms. And lastly, just one thing to remember about using the tool: it's important to involve those organizations and government sectors that are relevant to your scope of work or the program area or context you're interested in, and that the detail of the information described in the tool should reflect their needs. Okay, so this is a blank template of the information use map. This map is used to describe the existing flow of information for a specific program area. As I said before, the information used to complete this map can be gathered from desk reviews, interviews, or at a workshop with all relevant stakeholders together. In this template, you can see how each row is represented by a specific stakeholder group. The scope of the information use assessment in this example begins at the health service delivery level with private clinics, NGOs, and government facility, and continues all the way up to the district, regional, and national levels. This template is just an example. The kind of assessment that is best for you, your team, may not include all of these stakeholder groups. You may just want to look at a group of health clinics within a district or a specific catchment area. In this case, you would change the stakeholder groups so they reflect your scope of assessment. When deciding which stakeholder groups to include, it helps to start the first row with a group that collects data. And as you list more groups in each subsequent row, you should include more groups who are involved in the aggregation of the data that is collected. Now let's look at the columns. These columns represent a specific stage in the information cycle. The term data collection refers to the transferring of data from records to reports. Compilation is the aggregation of these reports. Storage refers to keeping the data in a reusable form, such as data entry into a computer. Analysis involves making inferences from the data. Reporting transmits the data to other stakeholder groups. And finally, data use involves making information a core part of the day-to-day management of health system planning and delivery. The difference between reporting and use is important here. The term use in the information use mapping tool means that you're leveraging data to support or inform a decision or activity. So each stakeholder group agrees on how they are currently contributing to the information life cycle. Some may only collect, others might collect, compile, and store. As data is transferred to each stage of the information lifecycle, it's important to indicate this transfer with a line. Oops. Oh, I'm having a little problem there. Go. With a line. Oh, well, with a line or arrow. However, it might not always be the case that the information is transferred to another stage of the lifecycle or to another stakeholder group. Unfortunately, my animation is not coming on. So we basically just draw a line from one box to the other to indicate how the connection is for each facility in the data use lifecycle. Oh, here we are. Okay. So here's this example was adapted from a 2006 strategic information assessment in Swaziland that was facilitated by Measure Evaluation. Our stakeholder groups have now indicated in the information use map how information flows through their existing health service structure. In this case, the first column tells us that data is compiled or aggregated only from the government facilities. This government facility data is compiled again at the district and at the regional level and then stored together with raw data from the private clinics and NGOs at the national level. The only time all of this data is analyzed and reported is when there is at the time of a five-year national strategic plan. When the information flow is mapped visually, deficiencies quickly become apparent. And the large empty expanse of the chart tells the story. In this map, it is clear that the insights from high-level reports are not shared back with other lower levels, and the information is being used only to file reports, not to support evidence-based decisions for program improvements. This map highlights the many potential improvements to the M&E system, including points where feedback mechanisms can be developed and opportunities for increased data use can be identified. The mapping process shows how each level of service delivery can improve their use of the data for local decision making, as indicated by the red squares. Also, the map shows how data collection at the facility level contributes to national data systems and the decision making process. As an example, additional steps were identified at the government facility level. My arrow there. All right. And where data could be collected and stored to conduct client level as well as facility level analysis. This client data could then be routinely reviewed at the facility management meetings and used for program planning and improvement. The arrows along the left side showed how data are shared back with those who collect the data to improve the feedback and monitoring of service delivered. So in our example, not only is the government facility receiving feedback from the district, but it is also providing feedback to both the NGOs and the private clinic. Now in this example, because we applied a broad scope that ranged from service delivery level to the national level, you might think that this tool is only used for data use planning at the national level. However, you can also use the information use map with stakeholder groups involved with a specific health program or geographic area. The comparison between the existing information flow and this future vision of how information can flow in the health system is mainly designed to help health professionals identify new ways that data can be used by a specific stakeholder group, and how a variety of stakeholder groups can work together to tackle different aspects of the information lifecycle. It may be the case that in order to achieve this vision, other more fundamental data use constraints need to be addressed. In this case, the assessment of data use constraints tool found on the Measure Evaluation website can be used by a stakeholder group to dig a little deeper into the challenges of using data to inform their day-to-day programmatic decisions. The ideal vision of information use is any step along the information lifecycle can be done by any stakeholder group member, and each stakeholder group identifies some use for the information generated. Now, establishing a vision of how data can be used by all stakeholder groups is just the beginning. Enacting this vision may take time and management skills. So in order to manage the transition, this planning matrix template can be used to outline and track a sequence of steps to improve information flow based on the previous analysis. The first column, let me get my arrow ready here, okay, lists the barrier to information flow or problem identified in the information use map. An example might be there's no method of storing data at a private clinic. Then the relevant stakeholders propose how they plan to make to change this aspect of data flow, list the steps involved, those responsible for making it happen, and, you know, along with any other stakeholders that may be involved, and they finally, they agree on a timeline, a general timeline for when the change will occur. Now, it may help to prioritize the barriers to information flow to those that are most changeable and those that have the greatest impact on improving data use and decision making, so you don't take it all on at once. And this planning matrix should be considered a guiding work plan. These are steps and best practices for improving information flow and use. They should not be considered a strict prescription. All right, would like to talk to you a little briefly, quickly on a field application. Last August of 2011, Measure Evaluation conducted a data demand and use workshop in Nigeria in the states of Kano, Anambra, and Lagos. Unfortunately, given the recent events, we were unable to connect our colleagues to this presentation. But as you can see here, information use maps were produced by the Kano State Hospitals Management Board. My arrow out of the way, there you go. The Kano State Ministry for Local Government. The Lagos State Agency for the Control of AIDS. And the Lagos State Ministry of Health and Health Services Commission. Our facilitator, Samson Bembedele, shared with participants the examples of key phases in the data processing from collection to data use. And groups discussed opportunities and missing gaps where data producers and data users from each of the state level agencies could propose changes. Each group at this workshop presented these maps and allowed other groups at the workshop to give their input. We had an evaluation of the workshop, and in that evaluation, they mentioned that this tool, they found the information use mapping tool to be a useful diagnostic and solution providing tool. All right, so that's just a brief introduction to the tool. If you want more details on how it can be applied to your specific context, please visit this site at Measure Evaluation. You'll find instructions for using the tool, guidelines on key informant interviews, which can also be used to guide discussions among a core group of data users and producers, the planning matrix templates, an implementation checklist, and we also describe a few other field applications, so it gives you a general sense of how it's been used. Okay, so now we're going to go to a question and answer period where you are able to finally ask what you'd like of us as you've been hearing this presentation. You'll see now that there is a Q&A window. You just type into the box there and submit your question, and either Tara or I can answer it. If we have to, we can open back up the lecture and refer to different slides if needed. You also see on the bottom right of your screen a resources window. And at any time, if you'd like to just connect, link up directly with either the Unit Information Use Map, our Data Use Network, or any of the tools on our website, you just click on that source. And we're really excited about all these participants, and we'd like to open it up to any kinds of questions and answers that you might have. If you'd like, also, you can click the icon with the person raising his hand, and that will notify our knowledge management team to give you mic status, and you will be able to ask your questions verbally as well. So you have a lot of options here, and we'll be standing by for any questions. I don't have it. Oh, I am.
This is Tara. While people are typing their questions, I wanted to just kind of talk a little bit about an application of this tool in a different context, also a workshop setting like the one that Eric mentioned in Nigeria. So this was in Côte d'Ivoire, and the workshop was for the four ministries that are all working toward the, you know, HIV programs and the HIV epidemic. And the idea of this workshop was to bring these four ministries together because they very rarely had the opportunity to plan together. There are four separate, different functioning ministries. There was, I think, the Ministry of Education, Ministry of Health, Ministry of the equivalent of social, family and social life, and then the National AIDS Coordinating Committee. So they all came together for a workshop to improve data-informed decision-making. And we, each ministry in the workshop worked on their own information use map. And what was interesting was to see so many, you know, while each ministry had their own data collection systems, as well as utilizing the data coming from the Ministry of Health, it was interesting to see that they all suffered from some of the same information flow problems, whether they were talking about the same data source, such as the Ministry of Health that they all utilized, or their own ministry data sources. So it was also used as a way to kind of jointly plan for these four ministries to improve the data flow, not just up and down within their own data reporting structures, but across, so that they could begin to access information that comes from one ministry into the other. So, you know, there's different sort of ways you can apply this tool as well.
Okay, so we had a thank you for that, Tara. We had a question from Luigi that he's curious when is information on the complete program reaches back to the facility level, and is it important for assessing performance how one facility compares to the rest of the program? For example, does the facility make it to the top five performers? Okay, good question. My answer would be that the main use for the information use map is to identify whether this feedback is actually occurring in the first place. Data is transferred from the facility level up the chain. Do they get the analysis? Do they get the feedback from the other organizational stakeholders who use that data? And in terms of performance, the information use map is there to highlight whether that health facility is actually looking at their data to assess their own performance and make decisions about their own performance. So it's less about comparing the performance amongst different facilities, but just getting them involved in the process of using the data that they collect to do that sort of performance assessment themselves and make decisions that would increase their performance. And then we go back to, I'm going to share another question. Hopefully that answered your question, Luigi. We have from JSI in DC. Their feedback mechanisms are very important. Does the information map allow you to capture the different methods at each level uses to give feedback on the data?
This is Tara. Good question. You know, it depends on how you're applying the tool. As Eric mentioned, you know, you can apply the tool in a workshop setting, as he outlined in Nigeria. And if you're in that setting, and if you're specifically interested in identifying all the feedback mechanisms, absolutely. You know, this tool is flexible. You can use it to highlight whatever element is of interest to you and the group at that time. So, you know, when you're talking about feedback mechanisms, you can probe deeper to the group to respond, well, okay, let's talk about the facility level. We've got Eric's template showed you've got private clinic, NGO, and government. So within each one of these sort of data capture points, you know, is there feedback back to each facility? How does that work? And as you go kind of away up from the facility to the district, to the regional, you can do the same thing. Is the feedback happening down, or is the reporting just going up? So that it's you can highlight that element during your discussions. And the same sort of approach is true if you're doing this more as a one-on-one interview with key stakeholders. You can highlight that as well. But yes, feedback is always an element that it's recommended to kind of tease out information on this area.
Okay, well, thank you very much for that, Tara. I hope that we answered your question, JSI. Susan Jenkins from the Administration on Aging had another question. How closely did stakeholder assessments of their data use reflect actual data use versus how they might want to use their data in an ideal situation? That's exactly the goal of the exercise. You look at what is the reality, what is the ideal, and typically in that session, there is much more that needs to be done in order to improve data demand and use at each level of the chart. However, what it does is it highlights those areas where an intervention is needed, and you can start to prioritize what is most changeable, what is most important to increasing data use, and then start to action plan around using the template around those prioritized ideal situations that you'd like to get to. So it is a way of getting everybody together, discussing what are the real issues in terms of, using this data, contributing more to the information lifecycle, and what steps we can do to move different stakeholder groups towards that ideal of actually interpreting and using the data. All right, and I'm going to go to the next question. I hope that answered your question. This is GSI in DC, and I'm going to turn it over to my colleague, Tara.
So the question is, are there any examples of how this tool has produced behavior change at the systems at systems level? The way we track the sort of success, the impact of this tool, is through the planning matrix. So the idea is, once those primary barriers to data flow are identified and you brainstorm your potential interventions to address those and you list it on your matrix, we have at times gone back, where funding has allowed us to, gone back to assess implementation of those interventions. I'm kind of recalling here off the top of my head, using that Côte d'Ivoire example again, where based on their information flow, the biggest issue for them was there had been a fair amount of decentralization of monitoring and evaluation activities down to the district level. And while that authority had been given, there had been nobody placed to really coordinate that effort at the district level. So one of their recommendations was actually to draft the scope of work and find funding for and hire M&E coordinators that would ensure the flow of information not just up but back down to the down back to the facilities. And after, it took a while, to a lot of advocacy around the need for this position and identifying funding, but as to date, there have been, I'm aware of two, there might be more at this point, I'm not sure, of these coordinators at the subnational level who are facilitating this feedback function. So, the implementation of that specific intervention for us is showing that there is at least movement toward behavior change at the regional level.
Okay, thank you for that. We're going to go to the next question from Om Prakash Chandna. She's mentioned that the data analysis down to the facility level is too demanding in resources at each level of use, such as facility, district, region, and national level. Is it not good to analyze the data at the national level and give feedback to different levels of use? I agree that there might be resource issues at that level. The idea is to say, you know, identify those constraints, you know, that why data is not being used at those levels, what kind of support would they need, and if there is individual technical or organizational constraints, we have the assessment of data use constraints that can be applied to that particular health facility. It may be that analysis can be better done, organized at a higher level of the organization of the state, but it's also important to recognize whether there is that feedback mechanism that's actually occurring where the facility can actually see how they're performing and make decisions based on the data that they collect. Another important aspect to keep in mind is that by getting the health facility, encouraging the health facilities to analyze the data that they collect, they have more of a vested interest in seeing that the monitoring and evaluation system is working for them. They see the value in it, because they'll be able to bring their experience of delivering the health services and their insights from health service delivery into the interpretation of that data. And by getting them involved in that, it just increases the demand for data. So what we want is to really kind of brainstorm ways that we can kind of strengthen that data use and demand at the facility level if possible. And the information use map is really just a guide to get you there to start talking about what are the things that we can do that would facilitate that. So I'm going to move on to the next question.
I just wanted to kind of highlight something that Eric said, this concept of growing the understanding of the value of data, particularly at that level of the provider, who is our frontline data collector in terms of routine health information, is really important to data use. I mean, frequently the rationale for why they're checking the boxes and tallying the numbers isn't fully understood. It's seen as an additional sort of burdensome task. So this concept of sort of empowering and building the capacity of the frontline provider to be able to use that data, even if it's simply to understand how many people are coming in versus how many, you know, the levels of commodities that they have, is really important to begin to build this cycle of information use so that it continues in a culture of information use at all levels of the health system.
Okay, thank you, Sarah. Just a comment from Shannon Celentine. In my experience using this tool to map a RHIS, we did capture where feedback occurred on the map and then use the map to note where there were gaps in the availability of feedback loops. So thank you very much for that real-life example, Shannon. And we'll move on to another question from Sarah Harlan. Her question is, the reporting column seems like it could cover a lot. Do you have a way of measuring the exchange of information among different stakeholders beyond just reporting dissemination of information? In other words, can you measure the pull as well as the push? I'll hand this over to Tara. Go ahead.
Hi, Sarah. I'm thinking what you're getting at here is if we have a way to measure really the demand for information. Because you're right, what we're talking about here is all the push and kind of the feedback. No, not necessarily, we do not. I think when we talk about feedback, we're still talking a little bit about a push function. However, when you are, I mean, assuming you do your map and you identify your interventions, you know, if you identify that there is a feedback gap when you're trying to figure out what type of feedback you should implement, then you would create an opportunity there to understand what people need. And actually, in the sort of conceptual approach to data demand and use, we do talk a lot about information needs and identifying what those are, so that when you do, as you call it, push the information down, you're pushing the most useful and most relevant information to the data user. But know that the root of your question, this tool is not really sophisticated enough to understand kind of where that demand is functioning like it should. I mean, it'll come out that there might not be a feedback gap there, but the issue of demand is more robust than that, I think.
Okay, thank you, Tara. I'm going to post another question here from Fanor. Fanor Joseph from Haiti, bienvenue. It's good to hear we have friends in Haiti. I wonder, as a partner of MOH, how can we influence them to use the data that we help them to collect and improve the quality day by day? Well, you know, that's what these tools are designed to do, is to start that kind of discussion between the partners in the MOH about the data they collect. The information use mapping tool identifies the points that, you know, along the data cycle of who within the health sector are collecting data and reporting it, and where the gaps are. And as I said earlier, if there are constraints to the ability for like a health facility, for example, to either organizationally, technically, or individual constraints, there is another tool available on the Measure Evaluation website that deals with assessing those constraints, and you can apply that to a specific facility. Tara is indicating that she would like to answer that question as well.
I just wanted to highlight, you know, Fanor, you mentioned here also not just to influence the data we collect, but also you mentioned something about quality here. And I'd like to bring the quality data quality discussion up because, you know, frequently there's, when we talk about data use, you'll hear, well, one of the issues is we have really bad quality data, so people aren't using it. And while that's valid, and, you know, we all need to base our decisions on quality data, a great way to improve quality is to try and use your data. And then, you know, that is really can be an eye-opener to understand just exactly what is good that and useful and what is not. And it really starts to kind of open that dialogue around quality. And if you can move toward a place of data use, that positive experience using data motivates people then to focus more on quality and to address quality so that their subsequent decision-making experience is sure to be based on higher quality data. So it's all part of this cycle once again. But thanks for bringing that up, Fanor. It's a very important point.
Okay, well, Paulette was asking about whether she can contact for offline discussions about using these templates for certain purposes. Yes, we will be providing our team email contact after the Q&A and ways to contact us to discuss these tools further. So I'm going to move on. Oh, go ahead, Tara.
I just also wanted to kind of quickly say that we would also love for you to contact us if you happen to use the tool and tell us about your experiences and how you used it. This is a really important feedback for us to understand how our materials are being used and successes and suggestions for improvement as well. So please let us know if you use our tools. That'd be great. Thank you.
Okay. Muzero, excuse me if I mispronounce your name, had a good question. Data collection and storage requires a budget, which most of the time is not allocated in health facilities. What do you suggest as a method of advocacy for governments to invest in M&E activities like data collection and storage? That's a great question. And that's what we want. When you get these data users and producers together and facilitating these meetings and mapping out how the data flows, coming up with priority interventions that you think you can change and they're going to have the greatest impact, you can start to cost that kind of intervention based on your action plan. And you can show that you have several relevant stakeholder support. You can show the analysis that you've done. You can demonstrate the need for interventions. And you can give the benefits and costs to those decision makers who allocate budget resources for M&E and activities. So the whole process of getting people together and mapping out a plan and costing that plan based on what would cause the greatest benefit to data being collected, properly stored, and interpreted can be a useful way of packaging your argument. And Tara, did you have a comment?
Yeah, it's also important as you are about to embark on this use of this tool to think about, you know, Eric mentioned in one slide, he showed that we have another tool called the stakeholder engagement tool. And it's really important to think about who you want at this meeting, if you're doing it in that sort of working group meeting, or who you want to interview and then present this completed map back to, because if you, you know, involve the right people, if you involve those who do have access to influence on the budgets, et cetera, for M&E activities, this activity really can be an eye-opener and create an understanding for those additional investments in M&E that translate into improved data use. So I would also add here, it's really important to think about including those types of stakeholders.
All right, great. GSI in DC had another question. How can one obtain the results on Nigeria just presented on the measure evaluation website? Those action plans that were developed around data use are being implemented as we speak, and we're offering coaching and mentoring support to those in the field at the state level. So we are in the process of implementing those action plans, and as that develops, of course, we've had some delays with the recent events in Nigeria, but hopefully peaceful dialogue will prevail, and we will be moving forward with that. And as the coaching and mentoring takes place, we are being note-taking on any sort of organizational successes we've had from these group work plans that were developed to improve data use at the state level. Okay, so we're going to move over to Terry, who says, but don't you run into an issue with staffing turnover or transfer? This is an issue of once you train people, they have a tendency to move on quite quickly. And that is an issue. You could also identify it if you do a formal assessment, as an assessment of data use constraints, that might be the issue that comes up the most, is that staff turnover is your biggest problem and that you have to reintroduce these skills over and over again. But the fact that you go through the exercise, you highlight that in a way that brings it to the attention of decision makers, maybe you can get some more consistency in how staff is allocated. Okay. We're getting close to the end of the webinar, but we'll try to answer as many questions as possible.
I think there's really just one left here. We have lots of thank yous, et cetera, which is great to see. I see down here Chung asks, how is this tool used in relation to your other tools, i.e. Prism? Thanks. You know, it's interesting. All of our tools are rooted in the PRISM framework, for those of you that are familiar with PRISM. And PRISM really outlines the determinants of data use and information systems, routine information systems. Now, PRISM actually has an information flow exercise as well. So they're complementary. And I, in Ethiopia recently, last year, I guess it was, we used this information map exercise as opposed to the one in PRISM. And it just worked in that context. So the point just is they're complementary. It depends what you're doing, but they're all rooted in the same conceptual framework of PRISM.
All right. I think we're going to have to cut it there. I know there's one or two more questions. Again, well, you'll be able to email us if there is any questions or contact on the website. If we can get to
the slides.
Yeah. Here, I'm going to try and do that.
There we go.
Okay, good. If you want to look at the tools again, please look at the Measure Evaluation website at www.measureevaluation.org/ddu. You can get the toolkits, the training resources. We're really excited by the amount of participants. We reached about 45, 48, I think. There's going to be another webinar on the 31st at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard. It'll be the Stakeholder Engagement Tool. And also, for those of you who want some more feedback or just want to hear about other stories about how these tools were applied, or just network with other M&E specialists who are trying to increase the demand for and use of data, please send an email to the listserv at unc.edu. Just leave the subject field blank and type in the body of the message, subscribe data use net. This slide shows you how it should be. Just send a listserv, your email address, subject, subscribe, data use net, nothing else, and we'll get you on the listserv.
And if I can interject, the data use net is really a great opportunity. We share a lot of resources that we come across, announcements, job postings, etc. And it's also a place where you can ask questions to your fellow colleagues, so we really encourage you to sign up for that.
And here's our contact information. If you don't have time to write it down or capture it, this presentation has been recorded. You'll be able to see it on the Measure Evaluation website, and then you can track us down for any questions offline or discussions. We'd like to really thank you. We've had a good time. Thanks for your participation. We look forward to collaborating with you in the future. And
I reiterate what Eric said. Thanks again for the time. And please join in. There are, five more? So five more times to have a fun morning.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a good day.